Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Bible reading this morning is found in the book of Isaiah and chapter 6. Isaiah and chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, that's Isaiah, saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of the voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord. In the year 740 BC, which I'm sure is before any of us can even begin to imagine or remember, the king of Judah, Uzziah, dies. He'd been a very godly king. He'd been a good king. But if you read in 2 Chronicles in chapter 26, we read that as he got older, he forgot about God. He disobeyed God. And he had been struck by leprosy, and then he had died. He had brought stability to his country for 50 years. And now the Assyrians, the enemy, are threatening, the armies are advancing, the king is dead. And Isaiah goes into the temple. Why does he go into the temple, I wonder? Does he go in to mourn the death of the king? Does he go in to remember what's happened in the past and think about what might happen in the future? Does he go in to pray? You know, when we go through times of sadness, as we all do, when we go through times of crisis, as we probably all will, when we go through times of questioning and wondering, where's the first place that we go? Do we go to God? Maybe not actually to his house, but in our own homes, do we go to God in those difficult times? That's what Isaiah did. Here he is in the temple. And while he's in the temple, he has a vision of God on high. God on the throne of heaven. He's seated on the throne. He's high and he's exalted. We've been singing about that this morning, haven't we? That God is high, that God is exalted, that God is great, that his name is higher than any other, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is God whom we are to stand in awe of and worship. High exalted, seated on the throne, the king. The train of his robe filled the temple. He's so great that he fills the whole place. And then we have the angels. And their wings cover their face. And they fly. And they call to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory." He sees that God is the only one on the throne. The old king has died, the new king has come. But actually, God is on the highest throne of all. And God will always be on the throne. You know, kings come and go, don't they? Some of them might last for a couple of years, some of them for 50. But kings come and go. God will always be on the throne of heaven. He will never die. He will never be deposed. He will always be there. We used to sing when I was growing up, "God is still on the throne." Not like the children who used to sometimes sing, "God is still on the phone. And he will remember his own." Well, we can talk to God at any time, can't we? Maybe not by phone. But God will always be on the throne. God is high and lifted up. He is the one to whom all praise is due. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. He is the one to whom all praise is due. And the angels, the seraphim, declare God's glory and his holiness. Holiness means that God is totally separate to us. It means that he is different to us. It means that he is totally perfect in every way. God is great. As Isaiah watches and sees this vision, the whole place is shaken and filled with smoke, and the glory of God is seen. If you read in other places in the Bible, Exodus 19, just before God gives the Ten Commandments, there's smoke. And the place is shaken and the people bow down before God. In 2 Chronicles, when the temple is dedicated to God, the whole place is filled with God's glory. And what happens? The priests fall on their faces and bow down. We sometimes sing about it, don't we? It's just come into my head and I can't think what song it is. The priests worshipped and the fire came down. And then in Acts chapter 4, when the Holy Spirit falls upon the people, the place is shaken and the glory of God comes and people are changed. How do we see God today? A lot of people who don't know Jesus talk about God in all sorts of ways, don't they? God is a bit like the old grandfather in heaven with a long beard who watches over, and if you want something, you ask for it and you may get it if he's in a good mood. Other people have the idea that God is out to get me. He's looking down, and when every slip I make, he'll be there noting it down, and one day he'll say, I know all about you. Your idea of God. Some people say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'll tell God what. Really? Or, my mate's upstairs. You know, as Christians, we know that God is our Father. We sang about that this morning. We know that He is our friend. We know that He is our Saviour. But we have to remember that God is absolutely, totally different to us. You know, there are some people who say, oh, we're all part of God. There's a bit of God in me and a bit of God in you. And no, there isn't. God is different in every way. He is eternal. No beginning and no end. Don't ask me to try and explain that because I can't. You know, it's the oldest children's question in the book, isn't it? Mummy, granny, teacher, who made God? Nobody. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. No beginning, no end. He is perfect in every way. Not like Mary Poppins, who claimed to be practically perfect in every way. To me, she always seems to be a bit of a pain. God is perfect in every way. He is just and holy in all His ways. He is sinless. He has never done or thought or said anything wrong. He is the one to whom we should stand in awe and honor Him and give Him worship. When Isaiah sees God's holiness and God's greatness, he is overcome by the seriousness of his own sin. He says, woe is me. We don't normally speak like that these days, do we? You know, we would say, oh my goodness. Oh dear. This is terrible. What am I going to do? Woe is me. I am ruined. Because I've got unclean lips. I'm a sinner. And I live with other people who are sinners. And I cannot stand before God. The old hymn says, eternal light, how pure the soul must be when placed within your searching sight. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. It's a bit old-fashioned, but it makes sense, doesn't it? You know what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? No longer could they look God in the eye. No longer did they welcome His visits to the Garden of Eden for fellowship. They hid because they knew that they were wrong. And they couldn't face Him anymore. And here Isaiah looks at God and he says, oh dear, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? God is so perfect and so holy. I'm a sinful person. You know, sometimes we almost treat sin as if it's a bit of a joke, don't we? Or as if it's really not that important. Well, I couldn't help it. You know, it's just the way it is. Oh, it wasn't that bad. I wasn't as bad as him. He's much worse than me. God won't mind. He'll let me off. It's okay. But here Isaiah sees that his sin has separated him from God. And there's nothing he can do about it. Our sin separates us from God here and forever. And so he says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And in this sort of, it's a very strange picture, isn't it? You know, the angel flies towards him with this piece of coal and puts it on his mouth and says, now you're forgiven, now you're all right. Not really quite sure I understand what that means. But because he knows he is a sinner, because he knows he cannot stand before God, because he is not just sorry for his sin, but wants to change, he is forgiven. He is cleansed. In 1 John, John writes a letter and says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive. It doesn't say if you confess your sin and he is in a good mood and you do lots of good things and go to church on Sunday, he will forgive your sins. If you confess, and by that I don't just mean saying, yeah, I've done something wrong. We all know about confessions. Some of those awful telly programs and the magazines you can buy, true confessions, you know. I did this, I did that. I won't mention the things that they did. It's not very pleasant. I did this and I did that. And that's not what we mean by confession, is it? It's going to God like Isaiah and saying, God, you're amazing. And I'm not what I should be. It was amazing that little reading we had earlier on about Esau, wasn't it? He wasn't what he should be. And God changed him. Isaiah wasn't what he should be. And God forgave him and changed him. I'm not what I should be. And without being rude, I think it would be right to say that none of you are what you should be either. And we can't get into heaven on our own. But when we confess our sins, when we repent, do a U-turn. So I'm not going that way anymore. I want to go that way with Jesus. We will be forgiven. No doubts. No worries. Forgiven. Psalm 103 says, he has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He's taken our sins and dropped them into the deepest sea. And he chooses to remember them no more. We sometimes say God forgets our sins. Actually, he doesn't. He positively chooses not to remember. God hasn't got a bad memory. He says, I'm never ever going to think about those sins again. They're gone, they're forgiven. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven when we put our trust in Jesus. And so I suppose the question is, have we realized how great God is? Have we realized that we are sinful people? Not just because we don't do the things that we should do and do the things that we shouldn't do, but because we don't love God with all our heart and soul and all our strength and all our might. Have we realized that we need to repent and put our trust in him? Have we realized that he is the only one to whom all praise is due in our lives? And if we do that, we will be forgiven and become new creatures. But that's not the end of the story. He hears a voice calling. And the voice says, there's a job to do. We need somebody to do it. Who's going to go? And Isaiah says, I'm here. I'll go. Send me. And he's told that it's not going to be easy, because most of the people will listen to what he says and take no notice of him. That's a good promise for a preacher, isn't it? You know, people will listen to you, but they'll forget what you say and they won't take any notice of it. That would be a bit discouraging, wouldn't it? But that's what he's told people. Oh, I'm going to listen to you. It's going to be a real tough job. It's going to be costly. But some will believe. And so Isaiah obeys God's call. Is God calling you to do something today? Is there a need that you know about? And God's saying, who's going to go? Will you go? There's something that you need to do. And God's saying, are you going to do it? Will you do it? God's saying, there are people who need to hear about me. They may live next door. They may live the other side of the world. Will you tell them? What's our response going to be if we hear God calling us today? Remember, Samuel heard the voice of God calling in the night. And he had a message to give that wasn't very pleasant, but he did it. Moses heard God calling out of a burning bush. He wasn't very keen. Said, don't send me, send someone else. And God said, sorry, you gotta go. Gideon, get up and lead the army. Me? Me? You've got to be joking, God. I'm really weak and pathetic. Really? Mary, you're going to have God's son. Really? Yes, Lord. I'll do it. Is God calling you to do something today? Are you saying no? Or are you saying, I don't fancy that? Or someone else would be much better at it than me? Or are you going to be like Mary and say yes? Are you going to be like Isaiah and say, I'll go. I'll do it. Whatever it is you're calling me to do, God, I'll do it today. And so today, we need to see God in his majesty and holiness. And as we have done earlier, give him the praise and the glory. We need to see and admit our sin and our need of him. We need, if we haven't done it before, to confess our sin. Repent of our sin and turn to Jesus for salvation, knowing that he won't turn us away, but that he will forgive our sin, cleanse us, remove our guilt, and call us to serve him. Becoming a Christian is not the end of the story. It's the beginning. He calls us to serve him. It won't be easy, but he will give us all we need. If you want 5 C's to finish with in good Baptist tradition, we need to have conviction. Conviction that God is great and that we need him. We need to have confession. Then we will receive cleansing. Then we will be consecrated to his service as we hear him calling. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. Our God is loving and forgiving. And he calls us to trust in him and obey him in the days that lie ahead. Let's pray. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. Father, forgive us for the times when we take you for granted, for the times when we forget how great you are, for the times that we treat you with disrespect and lack of awe. But we thank you too that through Jesus we can call you our Heavenly Father. So help us never to forget that either. And Father, I pray this morning that each one of us knows what it is to acknowledge you as mighty God, to confess our sin, to know that we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. And Father, we pray that each one of us will hear your call. You want each one of us to do something for you. And we pray that we will be willing to listen and willing to obey your call, whatever you ask us to do. We thank you for your word. Isaiah lived so many years ago, but this record of his meeting with you can speak to us so much even today. And we pray that like him, we will glorify your name, trust in you, and serve you all our days. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.